Hello and good morning to Studies Through the Bible with Pastor Zach Ebar. I am Pastor Zach, and today we are going to quickly look at the book of Mark. Mark is a very interesting gospel. There's obviously a lot of emphasis today on fast because the book of Mark is a short gospel, and it's a very fast-paced gospel. What makes it very interesting, though, is that the book of Mark much more heavily focuses on the actions of Jesus Christ rather than the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, many of the events that we're going to see in the book of Mark, we see in Matthew and Luke also, but Mark gives special detail, special attention to each of these individual miracles and performances of power that Jesus Christ did. And as I have said many times already, it is a very fast gospel. It is characterized big time by the word euthys in the Greek, which means immediately or straightway. It means he's constantly moving from event to event to event. Mark is not as focused on some of the in-between things, but more on the power and the authority of Jesus Christ as king. And so what's interesting about this book is that there's a lot of people, I feel like, that don't realize that the author of the book of Mark is John Mark. The John Mark that we see whose family becomes very prominent in the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 12. The same John Mark who makes the first missionary journey with Paul and Barnabas in Acts 12 and 13. Then, of course, we know on that journey that about halfway through, for some reason, John Mark left the group. And whatever that was, it made Paul pretty angry for whatever reason that he left. And Paul refuses to take him on a second missionary journey in Acts chapter 15, where Paul and Barnabas obviously end up going their separate ways. And Paul and Silas instead end up going together on a trip, and Barnabas and John Mark on another. But the great part about it is that John Mark was reconciled, of course, to Paul, we know from Colossians chapter 4, and was even strongly associated with Peter, and we see that in 1 Peter chapter 5. So John Mark is kind of this guy that appears all over the Bible. He's very prominent in Acts and in Colossians, and then we see him in 1 Peter. And very little is John Mark spoke about other than the infamous story of John Mark leaving the mission trip early. But from what we know of John Mark, he became a very strong individual in the movement of the gospel across the world. And so when we're getting into the authorship, the date, you know, the things that we typically go over right now in this podcast, obviously I'm very eager for us to start going verse by verse, but when we're looking at these dates, there's a lot of debate about dating with the Gospels. I'm just going to warn you about that ahead of time. We talked about that with Matthew last week. We're going to quickly talk about that with Mark this week, since the emphasis is on fast pace, right? This is going to be the shortest podcast of all of them. I'm sure you're going to enjoy that if you're listening. To kind of just cut past all the garbage, the probable dating range for this book would have been AD 55 to 68, okay? The reason for such a wide array of time in which this book might have been written is because people say, well, obviously it had to have been written before the destruction of the temple in AD 70, or Mark would have added, you know, to the fact that, well, when Jesus said this, he was talking about this, and this has happened now. And the reason for that is because there's a lot of times we see in New Testament writings, and even in Old Testament writings, where if they are going back in time to write something, they'll say, and this is still to this day, or this has happened to this day, or, you know, something of this nature. And Mark never, of course, John Mark never alludes to the destruction of the temple, so it must be before AD 70, but then there are some higher critics that say it also had to have been written before the martyrdom of Peter in 64. Why that matters, I have no idea. But the range of time would have been AD 55 to 68. Now, this is the amazing thing about the book of Mark, all right? Its audience, as we know from our general, our overview of the overviews, is directed at showing Jesus Christ and his authority and his intended audience, the audience that he is attempting to reach with this gospel, is the Romans. Okay, now that does not mean that, oh well, he wrote it to Romans, Brother Zach, so I don't, there's nothing I can learn from it, I'm not a Roman. No, that's not at all what that means. What it means is that we need to know who the audience is so that we can understand why John Mark wrote what he wrote. And what's interesting about it is that it is perfectly tailored to reaching through the cultural barriers that the Romans would have had. The Romans were a proud people, an authoritative people. And to be quite frank, they really didn't care who you were, or what your bloodlines were, or anything like that. They wanted you to prove what you were through your power and your authority. And so John Mark omits a lot of things from his gospel that would not have mattered to Gentiles. One of those being the genealogy of Christ. We know that in Matthew and Luke, Matthew focuses on the genealogy of Christ through his physical father, which we know wasn't obviously a biological father, but the physical representation of his father, which was Joseph. We know that he focused highly on his bloodline to show that Jesus Christ was of the Davidic line through Joseph. And then we also know that Luke did something wild and crazy, and he focused on the Davidic line of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Goodness gracious. Apologize. He focused on the Davidic line of Jesus Christ through Mary, and actually went through the mothers in the line of Jesus Christ and how it works its way through Mary, where Jesus is now biologically from the Davidic line as well. Not just we have this representation physically of his father Joseph, who's of the Davidic line, but Luke says, no, I'll go a step further, because Joseph wasn't his actual father. He is of the Davidic line through Mary. But Mark doesn't do any of that. Mark doesn't talk about the genealogies. He doesn't go into that because Mark's intended audience will not care about it. Mark instead focuses on how Jesus fulfilled prophecy, how he fulfilled references of the law in some aspects, but most of the Jewish customs that we see portrayed in Matthew and Luke, we do not see in the book of Mark. What's also very interesting, and how we know that Mark was written to Gentiles, specifically the Romans, but obviously all Gentiles would benefit from the book, because Luke later writes to Orthodox Jews, which is, you know, Greeks and Jews who have been Hellenized, okay? I'm sorry, not Orthodox Jews. Those would have been the guys that Matthew's writing to. Hellenistic Jews, meaning people, the Jews that have been exposed to Gentiles. That's the purpose of the book of Luke. Mark writes here, and he interprets in four different places in the book of Mark, Aramaic words. That happens in chapter 3, 17, chapter 5, verse 41, 7, 34, 15, and 22. And all of these places, Mark takes the time to define an Aramaic word that Jesus Christ or one of the other people is using. And not only that, he also used a number of Latin terms in place of their Greek equivalents in about 6 other places in the Gospels. So we know that Mark's intended audience, just through his writing style alone, was that of the Romans. And it's beautiful because it helps us to see that when we look at Bibles and we look at translations of the Bibles and we look at original language, there are times that it is okay, and not just okay, but would be biblically right, for a pastor or a preacher to tailor that message where it can be understood by the audience he's preaching to. If I come in and I preach the Old Testament like I'm preaching to Jews, and I've got an audience full of Gentiles, that's not going to work. You are not Jews. You don't know all those things. You don't understand the law. You have never in your life sacrificed a goat at an altar. Now, you need to understand those things and their significance, but I need to make it relevant to you. And John Mark does this masterfully, not only just with the defining of the terms that he does, but with the fact that he goes, you know, I can say this in Greek, but it would be better understood in Latin, and he writes that instead, even though he's writing the majority of his narrative in Greek. So it's very, very important that we understand that if it mattered to these men, that when they wrote where these people could understand. They're under divine inspiration of God, of course, but that they use words that would help them to understand the intended meaning, then that is our job also as teachers and pastors and people witnessing to lost people, that we bring across those cultural procedures, those understandings to these people. And so Mark, very fast-paced, wants to cover the important highlights, wants to cover the authority of God, and uses language to get across to his intended audience what he wants them to understand, which is the Romans. And so because of this, his gospel is structured around various geographical movements of Christ, okay? He focuses on Jesus' ministry in Galilee, chapters 1 through chapter 8, verse 30. He focuses on the way to Judea, and that's chapter 8, 31 through 10, 52. Then he focuses heavily on Jerusalem, which is 11, 1 through 13, 37. And then he spends almost 40% of his book on the last week, which is what we call the Passion, chapters 14 through 15, and then the Resurrection, which is chapter 16. He focuses very, very heavily on the last week and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it was important that the Gentiles understood not only his power, but his abilities and everything that happened in that week, and then, of course, his undoubted love for us and for lost people, and the desire that he had to see all of the world come to salvation. And he emphasizes that last week in the resurrection very, very heavily, because that is the gauge by which all of Christ's ministry can be measured. So obviously, to kind of give you a breakdown here, Mark's obvious job here we're talking about is to highlight the power and authority of Jesus Christ, okay? And he does this in some different ways. First, as a teacher, all right? We see this in chapter 1, verse 22. Then we see his emphasis over his power over Satan and unclean spirits, which is in chapter 1, 27, and then chapters 3, 19 through 30. His authority over sin, which is in chapters 2, 1 through 12. His authority over the Sabbath, which is 2, 27 and 28. And then 3, 1 through 6. His authority over nature, over creation, which is chapters 4, 35 through 41. And chapters 6, 45 through 52. His authority over disease, which is chapter 5, 21 through 34. His authority even over death, chapters 5, 35 through 43. His authority over legalistic traditions, or just traditions in general, chapters 7, 1 through 13, and then 14 through 20 in the same chapter, and his authority over the temple, which is 11, 15 through 18. So, Mark makes sure to highlight every way Jesus Christ is the authority in the world, as well as his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we're going to give you kind of a layout here. So chapters 1 through chapter 2, verse 13, is the presentation of the servant. This is his displaying of Jesus Christ, and then, of course, we immediately begin into the works of Jesus Christ. Then in chapters 2, 13 through chapter 8, verse 27, we see the opposition to the servant. We're moving very quickly We see he's presented, people are kind of okay with it. Well, now there's the opposition. Then we have 8 through 27 to 11, 1 is the instruction by the servant, meaning some of his teachings, how he shows his power and authority over the Sabbath, these kinds of things. And then, of course, what do you think follows that? His rejection, chapters 11 to chapter 16, verse 1, which, of course, includes the Passion Week, his suffering, and his death. And then chapter 16, verse 1 through the end of the chapter is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, what's amazing is that chapters 1 through 8, we cover 3 years of time. Okay? Chapters 8 through 11, we cover 6 months, the latter 6 months of Jesus' life. And then 11 through the end of the book, we cover 8 days. For 5 chapters of Mark's gospel, we are covering only an 8-day period. And so, with all of that said, there is one other aspect of Mark that we need to talk about, and it's referred to as the messianic secret. There are many times in the gospel of Mark, Jesus tells someone not to tell of what he has done or what they have seen. We see this with many different areas. We saw it with the leper. We saw it with the Hill of Transfiguration. There's many different places where Jesus says, do not tell what I've done or what you've seen. And the reason for this is a couple things. First of all, Jesus Christ did not want to be considered just a miracle worker. He was not there for physical purposes. He was there to save men spiritually. He did not want the emphasis of his ministry to be on healing the sick, healing the poor. Yes, obviously, out of love and compassion, Jesus Christ desired to do those things for the people. But that was not his main purpose. The same way that with church, yeah, every now and again, it's good to have, you know, fellowship meal with somebody, you know, with the church, or, you know, it's good to have a youth event or things like that. But that is not the emphasis. That is not the purpose of one of God's churches. It's not to be a social club. It is to see people spiritually changed. That was the same reason for what Jesus Christ did. He did not want him to become known as a really good doctor, a miracle worker. He wanted to be known for who and what he was, which was the Messiah who had come with the authority to save the world. Second of all, he needed to avoid undue publicity because that would hinder the work. When the leper was disobedient in chapter 1, verse 45 of the book of Mark, it caused delays for Jesus Christ and his ministry because the people flocked to him. So it had some practical reasons, too. Jesus had work to do. He did not need to be slowed down. The third reason was to avoid the mistaken notion of who or what kind of Messiah he was. He came to suffer and serve and save and sacrifice himself. He did not come to kick out Rome, to take the throne, to all the things that they would believe he did. If he came just doing miracles over and over again, where they would assume, oh, he's come, he's going to overthrow Rome. That was not Christ's purpose for coming to this earth. And then the final reason, of course, is to avoid premature death, because the more popular he got, the more the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to kill him. So, Book of Mark in a nutshell. Obviously, first of all, book is written to Gentiles, to Romans. The purpose is to focus on Jesus Christ's authority and his messianic proof that he was the Messiah. Thirdly, it was written and tailored where it could be understood by the intended audience. It's fast-paced. It uses Latin words. It defines Aramaic words to help its readers better understand what Jesus Christ is speaking about. And so, we should also, in our lives, when we are dealing and witnessing with people, or if you're a pastor that's listening to this and you're preaching to a congregation, your message needs to tell the point, tell the truth, tell the doctrine, but it needs to tell it in a way that the people can and will grasp and understand it. and of course, finally, it was written by John Mark, who was a very prominent figure in the Bible, and was a man who came full circle. We can learn a lot about the book of Mark just from knowing the man who wrote it, and how he started out kind of a weak Christian, and then by the time he came full circle, here he is writing one of the Gospels of the Bible itself. So, as you go about your week, take the time to look over the book of Mark. Look at some of these verses that we've highlighted and talked about. Look at Jesus's authority that occurs in many of these chapters. And take the time to go look at those verses where John Mark took the time to tailor this gospel specifically to his audience. All right, guys. So, that is the book of Mark. And like I said, this would be the shortest one, huh? Just like the book of Mark, we were fast-paced and to the point. I hope everyone has a fantastic week. Get out of here and go study.